fifth case of the day, Roiba versus Ashcroft. Ms. Hannigan.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Ann Hannigan, and I'm representing Jazeem Roiba. This is a petition for review from the Immigration Court of Chicago. Mr. Roiba is an immigrant from Albania seeking political asylum in the United States. Petitioner Jazeem Roiba was a citizen of Albania and 17 at the time he applied for political asylum in the U.S. He came over as part of a soccer team on a Greek visa and overstayed his visa because he had recently been arrested, tortured, and threatened by the Albanian secret police, also known as the SEEK. Prior to his arrival in May of 98, at the age of 15, his brother Afrin had sought asylum in 94, which was granted. Petitioner's uncle, Safat, was also assaulted by the secret police, held for 19 days, and he sought and received asylum in 96. Uncle Fatmir was arrested, assaulted, and jailed by the secret police in November 98. Petitioner was arrested while participating in a hunger strike in January 98 in Albania. He was assaulted by the secret police with rubber batons. He was only 14. His father and his sister-in-law were also arrested in the hunger strike. They were separated into separate rooms and released after several days. They had been badly beaten. His father then took his sister-in-law, who was 17, to the U.S., where she was granted asylum. But the father returned to Albania because his wife and son, the petitioner, his son, were still in danger in Albania. On June 21st, 99, petitioner was arrested and told to inform on his family. This is his second arrest by the secret police. When he refused, he was beaten so badly he thought he would die. In November 99, the Sheikh, the police, took a shot at his house as he was walking towards it. The next day, his father sent him to Greece to obtain a visa as part of the soccer team. Also, when his father spoke with authorities, he was told that he may never see his son again. His mother and father later immigrated to the U.S., an alien petition was filed and approved for his mother, and the father's is pending. The first argument I want to present is that the petitioner has presented adequate and uncontroverted evidence of past persecution. His father and sister-in-law were beaten and detained by the Albanian secret police. Petitioner, at the same time, was interrogated at the age of 14 and beaten with rubber batons. He was asked to inform on his family, who had been active in protests against the Socialist Party, which was in control in 1997. The day before he received his high school diploma, he was arrested a second time by secret police and told to inform on his family, which he refused. He was beaten so badly that he thought he was going to die. This demonstrates past persecution, but the immigration judge also erred in failing to find a fear of future persecution. Petitioner testified his father was head of the Republican Party and did not support the Democratic Party. His sister-in-law, however, testified that they did support the Democrats, so the immigration judge found the evidence conflicting. Actually, there is no conflict. Prior to 1997, the Democratic Party of Sali Berisha ruled the country, and petitioner's family was Republican in opposition to the Democrats. But after 1997, when the Socialists came to power, the Democrats and Republicans formed a coalition to oppose the Socialists, who were reinstating the secret police. So their sister-in-law was correct in stating that she supported the Democratic Party. Petitioner is requesting that if his petition is not granted, this case be remanded to the immigration judge to clarify the situation of the political parties in Albania. The next error of the immigration judge was to find that the State Department reports were conclusive when they said the secret police had become smaller and less active and that the government lacked resources to conduct political retribution. First of all, just because the secret police has become smaller doesn't mean they didn't actually torture and threaten petitioner and his family. In 1997, there was complete chaos and lawlessness in Albania when the socialists came to power, and the secret police continued to kill and threaten politically active Albanians. This is exactly what happened to Petitioner and his family. They were a politically active family in Albania. The third error of the immigration judge was that he found there could be no past or future persecution if Petitioner's father would take his sister-in-law to the U.S. and then return to Albania. His father only returned to Albania after taking the sister-in-law to the U.S. because he feared for the safety of his wife and son. When he left Albania, the authorities told him that he may never see his son again. This should not be an issue to Petitioner's case. It should only be an issue to his father's political asylum case. Finally, the immigration judge improperly considered the fact that Petitioner failed to call his father as a witness. When Petitioner was detained and tortured on two occasions, his father was not present. His father had been separated and tortured in a separate room. So this would not play a part in Petitioner's case for persecution. We ask that the petition for review be granted. And just, I want to point out that I found an error in the brief on page 7. The last line on page 7, it says, he returned to the U.S. for his wife and son. That should be, he returned to Albania for his wife and son. And the same error appears on page 17, the first full paragraph, the last line. Petitioner's father returned to the U.S. He returned to Albania after he helped his sister-in-law enter the U.S., where she was granted asylum.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Nazaroff.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ari Nazaroff, representing the U.S. government. Petitioner's asylum application was denied for two independent reasons. Petitioner is not credible, and even if his testimony were credible, petitioner has failed to establish that he's eligible for asylum on the merits. I'll start by addressing petitioner's arguments here this morning. She mentions that the IJ, the immigration judge, relied on a State Department report. Well, this court has held that this court has recognized that State Department reports as authoritative sources on the current political situation in the foreign states and helpful in determining whether an asylum applicant's fear of persecution is well-founded. The immigration judge in this case also considered other evidence in addition to the State Department reports, including the asylum application, the hearing testimony, and the testimony of the system. Petitioner this morning states that the immigration judge considered the fact that the father was not called as a witness. The immigration judge in his decision specifically stated that the fact that the father did not testify is not something the immigration judge found as strange, but he did not consider that or include that in his decision.
If I could interrupt for a moment, counsel, what is the legal standard that applies to the question of past persecution?
This court reviews the denial of an asylum application.
Not the standard of review, the legal standard that applies to the immigration judge's determination of past persecution, and we'll get to the standard of review next. What does it take to establish past persecution?
To establish past persecution, for example, it would be evidence of repeated assaults involving serious bodily harm presents a compelling case of past persecution. Lengthy detention coupled with physical abuse can, in some circumstances, establish past persecution. In this case, Your Honor, the immigration judge acknowledged that petitioner had testified that he had been detained by the secret police on three occasions, but he also pointed out that and he articulated that the record reflects that the petitioner was not seriously harmed in any of those times, that he was released within a few hours, and then that he was released on the same day.
And what is the legal standard of review that we're required to apply to those determination?
Well, this court reviews the denial of an asylum application under the highly deferential evidence standard. What that means is...
Unless Judge Posner's on the panel, then we should chant a little differently.
What that means is, does the record compel the conclusion that he was telling the truth? If it is at all possible that he is not, then this court must sustain.
What I'm driving at here is that there is uncontroverted evidence of beatings and detentions and other forms of persecution here. Those historical facts are not in dispute, correct? And what we have is a decision by the immigration judge involving the application of the legal standard to those historical facts. And what is the level of deference that's owed to that? It's a mixed question, isn't it?
Well,
it's not your contention that those historical facts are in dispute here.
Well, I think petitioner's credibility is in dispute, and because the petitioner really is unsure of what political party his family supports. In his asylum application, he indicates his family are part of the Democratic Party of Albania.
Right, but credibility issue arises only as to the political nature of the persecution or the political dimension of the persecution. As I understand it, the historical facts of the persecution are not in dispute here, and there was no credibility issue on that.
Well, it's the totality of the circumstances. I think the immigration judge considered credibility as a whole, and he took into consideration, he acknowledged the...
I saw a jury instruction that said the jury may consider false in one, false in all. That is, one lie kills you completely. We discredited that some time ago, that he may be perfectly credible in some areas, and the judge finds him incredible on something that's not material to that issue at all. What party he belonged to strikes me as being not particularly material. What is material is whether or not he was the victim of persecution.
Well, it can be material, Your Honor, because it goes towards his credibility.
That's what we just went through that. Supposing he lied about his age, would that also affect the whole thing?
Not necessarily. It could, Your Honor. It would come into play.
You caught yourself, didn't you?
Well, Your Honor, if you look at past persecution,
yes.
Is there any
evidence any place here or any implication that there was not past prosecution?
Well, there is,
persecution,
Your Honor.
Persecution.
Petitioner was able to complete his education in Albania. He left Albania with a valid passport. His brother returned twice to visit family and to get married to Albania. And likewise, his father had returned to Albania. So that also...
They're either master or sister. There's some question as to whether they were, in fact, persecuted.
That's right. Yeah. In sum, this court should affirm the decision of the immigration judge and the board and dismiss the petition for review. If there are no further questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Hannigan.
Your Honor, I just want to say that his father did return to Albania because the authorities had told him that he would never see his son. He may never see his son again.
Now, father didn't testify, right?
Right. His father was not available for testimony.
So that statement that you just related to the court comes about how? How will we take note of that? That is the reason.
More significantly, how did the immigration judge find out about that?
I know that was in the record. I just.
But who put it in?
I believe it was the testimony of petitioner. I believe he testified.
But
to
he
that.
Said that his father was
right. Right, he testified to that. As far as the State Department reports that they heavily rely on, again, they say that the secret police became smaller and less active. That really doesn't have anything to do with whether his family, whether he was specifically targeted for political retribution.
But it may speak to future persecution.
Yes, it may. But also, he's just simply wrong when he says that he wasn't really hurt. I mean, he was beaten with rubber batons and he was 14 years old. And after the second arrest, he was beaten so badly he could hardly walk. He thought he was going to die. So that just simply isn't true, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.